One of the things about this text that you probably would not know unless you were paying attention to the scriptures as a whole in Luke's gospel is that this is a story that comes immediately after the Good Samaritan story, the story that we had last Sunday that we talked about. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of why that's important as we talk about this story. The story of Mary and Martha is probably one of the great classic stories about women that's played out throughout centuries before our very eyes. It's a source of annoyance to a lot of women, believe it or not, this story. At least in my experience with talking with them about this, I've preached on this subject several times, and my views have changed every time I've seen something new in it. And there are a lot of women, like I said, who get annoyed with Jesus, particularly Jesus, for criticizing Martha, right? Because in her day, Martha was doing what women were supposed to do. She should be praised by Jesus rather than criticized because she not only welcomes Jesus into her own home, but she is also the one that's planning and preparing a huge meal in his honor. She's doing what any wonderful host or hostess would be doing to make her guest feel welcome in her house. And the thanks she gets for all of her trouble is to be scolded for simply wanting her sister to come and help her in the kitchen. Not an unreasonable request, given that they live together. If I'd been Martha, I'd have taken off my apron, I'd have walked over and sat down next to Mary at Jesus' feet, all the while thinking to myself, let's see how Jesus and the teacher's little pet enjoy their Bible study once their stomachs start to growl. I'm gonna be a student too. Now who's gonna prepare the meal? And I can relate to Martha's feelings. The text says that she was distracted, indicating that she was feeling dragged away from doing what she was supposed to be doing. And not only that, but that she wasn't getting help from the very sister that she expected to be helping her on this particular day when Jesus had come to visit. Anyone who has ever tried to put on a nice meal for your guests knows what I'm talking about. That's the day when we clean the entire house from the attic to the basement in our house. That's how we get our spring cleaning done. Throw a party, invite our friends over, and then have to do everything before they arrive. The feeling that comes just before your guests arrive when you realize you have no gas, though, left in the grill that you promised them that you're going to cook on, or that ingredient that's necessary, that one ingredient that's necessary to make the meal, forgot it. And then you have to run out and leave your guests hoping that they'll be fine until you get back. When it comes to the spiritual gift of hospitality, it takes a lot of work to make it look effortless. When people entertain, I never take it for granted. It takes a lot of work to make a party come look like it was easy. To make a neat, inviting space in one's home to prepare and serve an excellent meal, where all the dishes come out perfectly cooked or served on time, all the while doing your best to make sure everybody's having a good time, nobody's alone, nobody looks bored, nobody looks like they don't know what to do. Let's just say it's a very high art form to do this. So if you identify with Martha, as I do, then that's fine, because that's what the story is designed to do. It's designed to get us to think about her. But here's the thing about the story. Martha is more than just a little distracted. She's also angry, really angry, and not just at Mary. Now, Jesus is not just a new guest in her house. She's known Jesus as a friend for a long time. If you remember the story of the raising of Lazarus, Lazarus was Mary and Martha's brother. Jesus has been to her house many a time. So what she's really angry about is not Mary, who's sitting at his feet so much, as the arrogance that Jesus has to tell her what her guests should be doing in her house. Jesus, tell Mary to get out here in the kitchen and to help me. What? To which Jesus replied, Martha, you are worried and anxious about many things. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her. It's like whenever my family would say to me, and when I hear these words come out of their mouth, I know I've lost. Stephen, Stephen, Stephen. Right away, I know whatever I'm anxious about, they're not. But that doesn't relieve the anxiety in the person that feels it. In effect, Jesus is saying, you're fretting over your desire to prepare me a big, fancy meal. I wish Jesus had said, and I appreciate that. But really, there's only one dish that is needed for dinner. There's only one dish. You don't have to make all of these side dishes, Martha. You don't have to do that tonight. And what I think Jesus is actually trying to do is not make Martha feel bad. I don't think that's ever his intent. I think his intent is to alleviate Martha's worry about preparing an elaborate meal. Martha, Martha, Stephen, Stephen, you're worried and fretting about fixing a big meal when all that's really necessary is one beautiful dish. I remember getting ready for the picnic and Dottie was worried about what to fix for a side dish. And my wife, when she worries about something like this, then she usually gets very elaborate. It becomes a big deal. And so I wanted her to relax, not feel the pressure. I said, just make that favorite dish of mine, at least, which is cucumbers and vinegar. That's it. It's cold, it's cool, and on a hot Saturday, it'll be perfect, right? And it's a simple dish. And it was all that was needed. Mary, he says, has chosen the better portion, though, of what's being offered tonight, and that will not be taken away from her. And what is that portion that is being offered to Mary that night? Well, rather than being a story that's criticizing Martha, it's a story that is supportive of her in a very paradoxical way, in a way that she was not expecting, in a way that we do not expect. What Jesus is doing is encouraging Martha and Mary to learn from him, to become his disciples, which was simply unheard of in Jesus' day. Women did not become disciples. Rabbis didn't train women at all in the art of understanding the Torah. Women could cook and clean for men, but to be treated as an equal in terms of learning, it was unheard of. In essence, Jesus is saying, stop worrying about me. I'm fine, and one dish will be just fine. Please come in and join your sister because I have something very valuable to share with you. My time between now and Jerusalem, it's limited. I have something valuable to share with you. And what Jesus is inviting her to broaden is her capacity to be and do more than what she currently sees her role in society as. She can still cook, she'll still be expected to do that, but she can also be a disciple too. She is being invited to learn from a master rabbi whose only job in literally that context is to pick the best and the brightest to come and follow him to be his disciples, which he doesn't do. He doesn't pick the best and the brightest. He picks average people, below average people, fishermen, people that look down upon. They weren't educated folks. He picks women to follow in his entourage and help, and they do. So she is being invited to learn from a master rabbi, and it's an honor only given to the best and brightest men, never to women. Jesus' invitation to Mary and Martha stands in contrast to all the other teachers throughout the centuries who would only teach men. Until the 18th century, that's not that long ago, the students who were given an education were almost exclusively boys. Girls were largely excluded from education. The education of girls and women is relatively a recent development and is still resisted in some parts of the world today. Women simply have fought forever to come into the place of being equal with men, and they're finally arriving, but still there's resistance. So Jesus, nearly 2,000 years ahead of his time, encourages Mary and Martha to listen to him and to learn from him, in effect, to become his students. Now this story concludes with Jesus' statement that Mary has chosen the better portion, something that will not be taken away from her, something that will endure, namely learning about God's kingdom from the Master. What this story is doing, along now with the story of the Good Samaritan that we heard last week, is to break down again barriers. That's what Jesus is doing in this gospel's story. He is breaking down barriers, whether they're religious barriers, like they were with the Samaritan, or whether they're gender barriers here with Mary and Martha. And he's asking us that no one person is ever assigned to a hard and fast role, that life is far more flexible than that. Just as the parable of the Good Samaritan taught us that anyone whom I can help or anyone who can help me becomes my neighbor. I don't have to be blood to know this. I can do this and experience this without having that be familial. So here Jesus is saying that anybody who wants to learn from me can be my disciple. It's not a role that's just for men. In fact, without women in the church, I don't think the church would have survived. It's also a role for women, and herein lies the good news, seriously. No matter what role any of us have settled into or been assigned or thought we were assigned to play in life, God is here to say that you are so much more than the sum of the roles that you play in this life that are expected because of your upbringing or because of societal pressures or whatever. He's saying, I, the Lord your God, I am the one who has created you simply to be my child, my beloved son, my beloved daughter. You were created out of love, and you were created for the purpose of love, and that's why you're here. Enter fully into the kingdom that I have prepared for you since the beginning of time, he says. For no longer do I call you servants, for the servant has no idea what the master's thinking or doing. No, now I have shared everything that I know that has been given to me from the Father, and you now are my friends, and so are you. Amen.